Hello and welcome to episode 23 of the UFOcast, Does Captain Scarlet, Place of Angels? Well, it's been another week from your point of view, but from my point of view, we've had another recording break. It's been 3 or 4 months since I've recorded one of these, so it's nice to be back in front of the microphone. This was one of those episodes that I recalled very little about, aside from the strangulation scene and the denouement on the dam at the end. Otherwise, I had pretty much forgotten what this was about, largely because it is quite forgettable, I think. But let's talk about the positives, the notable things. This is, I think, the second episode in which a Mysteron agent is a woman, and again using one of the puppets that we saw last time in Model Spy. I feel slightly sadly that her downfall is her high heel caught in a grate. It feels that's playing with stereotypes there. She does outwit Spectrum with the help of Captain Black, relaying Mysteron instructions, but she already knows what... This is one of those things where you're just like, why does Captain Black stand around going, I'm going to relay some instructions to you? The waters will be muddied when we get to Treble Cross, but it's one of those things where in most episodes it just seems that the person is under Mysteron control and just does stuff. And then in others like this, you have a distinct kind of Captain Black is relaying instructions to the person, the implication being that if Captain Black didn't, they wouldn't know what to do, which is interesting. I suppose Spectrum are terrible in this episode. Like, you're going after a biological agent and you don't give your agents any protective clothing. And then you test to make sure that the agent was in the thing, and while you're waiting for the results, you don't keep chasing after the person who might still have it. So, yes, they haven't covered themselves in glory. It reuses the plot device from Operation Time of the Mysteron's threat being somewhat cryptic, and it takes them a long time to figure out what the Place of Angels actually is. You feel that Spectrum ought to have some kind of like code-breaking department, especially for cryptic Mysteron threats, and they would have thrown up Los Angeles as a reasonable possibility. That said, it's a nice little Mysteron plot, the idea of stealing a virus and sticking it in a reservoir to kill off a city. It's new, they've not done that before. As I record this, we are still technically in the COVID pandemic. Here in the UK, pretty much all restrictions have been lifted at this point, but it still feels like it's not over. And so that has a sort of level of potency, the reality of having lived with a virus for the last 2 years. Obviously, nothing as deadly as this one. And the question still remains, why were they creating this virus in the first place? But let's kind of gloss over that. There wouldn't be an episode without some stupid scientist creating a virus that can kill millions of people in one file. I guess this is probably like the least interesting hiding place for an SPV. They're probably one of the most realistic. Like, if you're going to stick SPVs anywhere, you'd probably hide them in airports. That kind of works. But I miss the whole dude presses a button and SPV appears from unlikely place. Just having a door slide away was a little bit disappointing. But yeah, I don't think there's a lot more to say about this episode, really. This week's Spectrum agent is Mike Slattery, who has written his contribution. So I've asked my UFOcast co-host, Michael, to read it out for him. The reference to Noose of Ice at the beginning is because Mike has already written a piece for that, and you'll be hearing that in a few weeks.
Place of the Angels. More quintessential Captain Scarlet. It's my favourite of the Anderson shows, but I have to admit the quality control of this series varies a bit more than the other puppet shows. The same as I think applies to, Space 1999, Year One. Spectacular high points and a few episodes that missed the mark. Angels is similar to Noose of Ice in that it's tightly plotted and loaded with interesting details in the scenarios and model work. The teaser with the lab complex has top-tier miniature work. The exterior is particularly good. The light of the exterior, including Captain Black's lorry, is great, and it's feature standard. When we go inside, there are extreme close-ups of two scientists, and the sculpting in the faces is remarkable. We've all been watching these shows for so many years, we've gotten used to the characters' features, but here you can see just how exquisitely they're done. Of course, the male Sam Luver, and looks to me like he was based on Patrick McGoohan. The episode quite shockingly brutal. Black murders Judy Chapman by forcing her car to collide with a truck, which then explodes. The camera then stares disproportionately at Clapman's dead body as the Mistron's eyes scan it. I'm always surprised by this scene, and I'm not quite sure how the studio got away with it. In one sense, it's reasonable, as it shows kids that bad things can happen to anyone, male or female. I think that's probably justification enough. Though it's not gratuitous, it's just what Captain Black would do. Captain Scarlet is hard sci-fi, but the mystery-slash-horror elements are quite Hitchcockian, particularly with things aren't quite as they seem enemy within nature of many of the plots. That's what's give the series its unique flavour. The tech seems to be influenced by 2001, especially the interiors of the SPV, MSV, cloud-based control room and exterior. I know 2001 came out after Scarlet, but 2001 was in production a couple of years earlier. The SFX people all knew each other and mingled, and I bet Scarlet crew had seen designs from 2001. The jump from Thunderbird's tech to Scarlet is huge, and they're only a few months apart in production. I think Scarlet went into pre-production while they were finishing off the last few Thunderbirds episodes. Chapman returns to the lab and murders the guard by strangling him with the robot's safety arms. Again, this is extremely brutal, but not over the top. The producers knew that kids would have seen Bond movies, etc. And this is still below the kind of casual sadism in those movies. It's just a matter of fact, plotting. It's what terrorists would do. Brisk storytelling follows. The captains track Chapman's car down to find its broken virus container. We then transition very quickly to scenes of the area being chemically sprayed and an emergency sealed lab that's been set up to determine whether the virus has escaped into the environment. The shot of the landscape and emergency lab dome covered in the neutralizing foam is pure sci-fi imagery. It reminds me of something from the Andromeda Strain. Once it's been determined our heroes aren't infected, the plot rapidly zips along. This is a hallmark of the best Scarlet episodes. They pack in a lot of great model work and locations while keeping the plot moving. I suppose this is a function of the 25-minute format. The lesser episodes are the ones where there's too little going on, but the best ones, the rapidity of the plot and visuals work really well. This still looks good now. In 1967, it would have been absolutely cutting edge. The concepts and the model designs are really up to 2001 standards. There's one last great bit of model work at the dam. That's three fab set pieces in one episode. The lab exterior, the interior, the emergency lab in the foam-covered forest, and the dam. There's one final bit of brutality. Scarlet warns Chapman first, but then forced to shoot her. When it comes to, he doesn't hesitate. Yes, she'd already shot him, but he would have done it anyway. Again, this isn't done to shock. It's a desperate measure in desperate circumstances. Does it say anything about morality? Does it end, justify the means? In real life, the answer is yes. A vintage episode, then. Brisk plotting with some great visuals. And a compelling plot centred around a female villain. It was a kid's show, but it was groundbreaking in its approach. As well as the disproportionate depiction of violence, there was the inclusion of the prominent ethnic characters such as Lieutenant Green, and super progressive concept of all the female Angel pilots. 55 years old, and it's still looking good.
If you'd like to be a Spectrum agent in a future week, please visit ufocast.co.uk/captain to sign up for one of the remaining slots. Let's go to our usual things that we keep track of. Episode order, it's 24 on the DVD and 28 on VHS, so very similar place to where it's occurring here on the Blu-ray order. I don't think there are any new Mistron powers in this episode. I think there's very few possibly no more new Mysteron powers to find at this point in the series, but we're still going to keep going. Mysteron still at large? Well, Julie Chapman falls to her doom, so no. Is this a win or a loss? Well, it's definitely a win for Spectrum after a bit of a false start. And we will add Julie to the Mysteron Puppet Gallery over at ufocast.co.uk, so please visit that to catch up with that. Next week, I will be back with episode 24, which is Flight 104. Again, an episode that I remember nothing about as I talk to you. It may start to come back as I watch it. I will be back next week with that. So I will see you then.